Hi, I'm Josh, and I'm actually just a cockroach with a rudimentary face and wings that wrap around my body like a trench coat.
That's true.
That's not new information.
That's not true.
Unless you're a new listener.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Matt, and I always felt like it was weird when I was in high school. It was like the first time you have kind of like the blood drive would come through, you know, so you could go to the high school gym and like miss like an hour of class or your study hall or something like that and donate blood. And I never did that because I pass out if someone sticks a needle in me. And so, but a lot of my friends did. And one of the things they would talk about is they would all like do push-ups and shit right before they'd start to try to see who could drain the amount of blood the fastest by having a higher heart rate. And then they would all immediately run outside and either smoke or, put in a fat dip because the less blood made it more powerful high or something, I guess. And so for me, there's always been a connection between, orgies of blood and a chaw.
That was Charlie level circuitous, by the way. That was
if we all start doing that, the intros are going to get real long.
I know, but I was just watching once. Josh go, "Where are you going with this fucker?" And going, I think I can tie this all together.
Let's see. This is Charlie down in Austin. So we watched all three movies that I like this week. I was going to try to come up with something funny for the introduction, but I wanted to just mention that, here in Austin last night when Chris and I were driving back from a concert last night into Austin, there was a shooting in downtown Austin you may have heard about on the news, where one person got killed, multiple people got taken to the hospital, and, it was kind of a sad and scary deal. And while that's awful, on the plus side here in Austin on Sunday, there are people in the park. There are people doing picnics. There are people going to movies. There are people helping people move. There are people painting. There are people recording music. People having sexual relations. There are people disciplining their children. There are people taking their kids to classes. A lot of great stuff happened in Austin today. In spite of that awful shit. So instead of it being a downtrodden, negative, awful thing, I just like to think that there's a lot of great stuff that happened in this great city, and ain't nothing gonna stop that. So I thought that was pretty nice thought for me to have today in my head.
So celebrate life, because you never know how long you've got until the slugs eat you.
That's true. And but they do it ever so slowly.
Yeah, but you know, it's all sunshine. It's nothing but sunshine.
You're walking out, leaving how did that go? Like, leaving slime trails on sunshine. Whoa! Like that?
No, you went a different direction. I was going atmosphere.
Yeah, the lead singer of atmosphere is slug.
Oh.
So, set down until sunshine. Whoa, let it shine.
Good night, everybody.
And we're done.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
So before we get into our creepy, crawly, slimy, furry, tusky, musky movies for the week.
Musky is a hell of a thing, yeah.
Well, I like the fish.
I was going to say it's a fish.
Or the politician.
Is it?
Ed Muskie,
yeah.
See, I was just thinking of, like, the pants that people would buy when we were kids that were husky.
Yeah.
I was thinking
and
it was more like...
Let's be
like,
honest, after a couple of days, they were also musky.
That's true. See, I was thinking you were trying to... I think you were doing kind of a, musky, but just sort of pronouncing it weird.
Wait, did you not just say musky?
Yeah. I did say musky.
No, did Charlie not just say musky?
Musty. He said musky. See...
Oh, musty.
Musty. Okay, I was going to say... okay, because we've had this problem where I hear the same word, but where you say we're saying different words.
So
I don't get to trust my ears anymore. So...
Yeah, Kristen had that problem recently where it's like... I told her that, like, I'm really, just for this moment alone, I hope that there's an afterlife, because then they have, like, they have, like, DVR of, like, going back over your whole life, because then she can go back to this one moment a few weeks ago where she said the term egg sharpener when she's really tired, and it's like she will not admit to the fact that she said egg sharpener, but she fucking said it, and it's not a thing. You can't sharpen a goddamn egg. Shit. But, like...
In what context?
She's sleepy.
No, but I mean, like, what was the conversation?
There wasn't a conversation. She was asleep.
She just was like, bring to me an egg sharpener.
Yeah, exactly.
And you were
basically.
Like, what? Like, just out of the blue?
Yeah, no,
she
basically.
She was kind of like, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was rad. And she won't believe me. And it was the best
thing.
You gotta
send that to, that's one of those memes that I love on Reddit so much, where people can't think of a word and they come up with something insane. My favorite one being, my girlfriend was trying to think of the word otter and used slippery noodle puppies.
shit.
That's the best thing ever. That's what they're like, trash panda for raccoon, which is like the best way to describe something.
So. That's fantastic.
Man.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, we should probably give you a test, but that's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah.
By the way, in our short this week, there is a slippery noodle puppy.
You're right, actually. We commented on that when we watched.
The short is Happy Birthday, or Cumpleaños Felices. And it's part of your big old fun-size horror collection, but available in its singularity by their YouTube channel.
So the premise is a little girl's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
We get only a 3-minute runtime here.
Right.
Blah, 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 cute little girl, blah, blah, blah. Here's your present, it's a puppy. Let's introduce it to our current, golden retriever-ish dog or something.
Yeah, hopefully, they say, hopefully this dog will make Baxter or whatever feel young again. Yeah.
And they bring the little, long-haired wiener dog over to the new dog, and they're the old dog, and the old dog just bites its head off, and they're all like, woo, I'm covered in blood! And then all the other presents are kind of, shaking and snarfling, and, clearly dogs. So they're gonna feed to the old dog?
The one couple that seems to be new to the deal.
Yeah.
Arranges for a princess to come in. Yeah. And the, girl in princess costume comes in and the little girl's terrified.
Yeah.
So there's that little, maybe something's a little wrong, but yeah, I wasn't expecting just the dog biting the other dog's head off and wasn't sure for a minute what happened and which dog did what. And yeah, I was confused.
Yeah.
How did you feel about this one, Charlie? I think you enjoyed it, you said.
Yes, I laughed my ass off. I thought it was really funny. I just thought it was super great. Cause it's not a simple thing, let's try that again. It's a simple thing to just do the subvert the expectation thing, but in this particular instance, having the thing with the princess coming in and then just sort of having this sweet little girl with her birthday cake and the whole thing, all the blood splatters and she just starts, yay! And it's just, for whatever reason, it just the subverting the expectation just made me crack up like an idiot. And I just was laughing. And much to the chagrin of my housemate, where she'd kind of looked at me and there's something wrong with you. But I just thought it was funny as hell. And I just kept giggling about it. So I was like, for whatever reason, this was just struck the chord of being amusing.
That's totally fair. I was just kind of baffled. Wasn't sure.
Well, that's fair.
I wasn't sure what had happened and was going to ask him to rewind it. But then after the credits, you have old dog licking the stump.
The stump. Yeah.
It's like, okay, so that's what happened. Yeah, I don't get it.
I feel like I was just kind of left flat by this one.
Yeah.
It was just here's the thing. A bunch of kids at a birthday party covered in blood, gleefully laughing. That's a great image.
Yep.
That is a really cool image. That's a fun idea. What's the name? There's a video game that I think just went into alpha or beta. It's available, I think, just now on Steam that I had on my wish list. But, you're this dude and you're kind of waking up to this world, blah, 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 that kind of a thing.
Hmm.
But you go into a room and there's a bunch of kids whacking a pinata. And you're like, all right, kid's birthday party whacking. And when they finally bust it open, there's just a body in it.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's fucked. And so that's that imagery. I was like, I want this game. I don't know shit about this game. I want this game. And this short does some of that, but I don't know that I was invested in it. Care? You know, it doesn't do anything wrong, but it doesn't do enough, I guess, maybe, I feel like that should have been a payoff to something, but I don't think I got the whatever it might have to be to make that me be, like that, to make me feel like that was satisfying. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure it came together. I don't know that I'd recommend it, personally.
This left me pretty flat. I don't think you need to see it. What do you think, Charlie?
I think in the context of watching the whole volume one, it's a nice little blip, you know, cause it's like, cause there's a gazillion shorts on that Fun Size Horror volume one. There's two volumes that you can find online, but this one's in the first one. And so I think in the context of watching a bunch of things in a row, it's just sort of like, meh, and then you go on to the next thing. So, you know, it's just sort of.
I see what you're saying.
It's like, I think as a standalone thing, it's a little trickier. And so I think that's sort of where that may have placed us, you know, but, I don't know. I still laugh like an idiot. So, you know.
Well, one of these days, we're going to do those two. anthologies.
And, we're ready to
and probably nothing else, because recording. Just two of them, we would have a 2.5 hour show.
Yeah, so. Still, yeah. But it's worth doing, because I do enjoy doing the little anthologies like that. It's just like, oh my God, that turns into a long night. We have to pick like a Sunday afternoon to record or something, and then...
And so our first movie this week was Slugs, or Babosas. Slugs. Occasionally I'll just get a weird vowel, and there's nothing I can do about it. Like, in the car one day with Jess, is like, can you, like, clean my glasses? I can't because this sweater is wool. And she's like, what?
You just get, like, a bad hop on your...
Yeah, but then I can't, like, vowels? I can't remember how to say wool. So it's like, wool, you know, wool.
Is this like a ping, ping, ping type thing?
So she started doing, it's like, oh, look out, it's the wooly, wooly. God damn it.
Because so, as she should, she immediately jumped on that bandwagon.
Yeah, she used to mock me.
And mocked you, yeah.
So I told her about Behold the Noose. And I couldn't get away from, is it noose? No, it's not. It's not noose
to you.
No noose is good noose, is what I'm saying.
Have you heard the good news about Jesus Christ?
Half your heart's a good news about the Jesus Christ, the Church of Latter-day Saints? It's accent day every day.
It's always accent day!
Oh my God, I want to make a movie with Peter Stormare as Brigham Young. It's just going to happen.
Only
I will lead the people, Joseph.
Only we will buy tickets to our own movie.
I don't know, so man. Just... The reworked Psycho 2, I think, is... It's still gold.
Mm. Yeah, gold.
Gold.
So Slugs. We
so not for just for from the start of this film, you know you're in for something special, because you have the two dinguses on the boat. The guy gets pulled under the blood. The scream goes in the credits, and the title of the film is made by that like snot stuff from the slugs. And
it's so
just
good.
Like it's just like, and it's called Slugs, the movie. And isn't that not just a treat that just gives you a big hug?
No, were they afraid that it was not like, we need to make sure this is both informative?
This is not accurate and all-encompassing.
There are two things that are better than the fact that it's called Slugs the Movie. One is that in Spain, and on most of the posters, it's Slugs Muerte Viscosa, which is Slugs : Sticky Death.
Which is good.
Yeah, or, you know, this viscous death.
You're right.
Even better is after it says Slugs the Movie, it says based on the novel Slugs.
Wait, what?
Based on the novel Push,
I didn't even notice that.
Oh, dear God, yes. And, God, do I want to read the novel
now. I really
do
now, too. Yeah,
not that they made a novelization afterward. No, this was a book that became a movie.
But here's the thing, is this is what's so important, is that presumably, you know, either the director Juan Piquier Simon, or, you know, one of the screenwriters, was a person of such vision that they read this book and were like, no, this cannot remain confined to the page.
Yeah.
This needs full technicolor treatment.
The
this needs to be splashed across the screen in full gore. And to be fair, like, the gore is one of the best parts of this movie. This movie is amazing. But, like, someone was like, yes, it is our time now.
Like, yeah.
John Carpenter had his moment in 82. Now it's 1988. It's nearly the 90s. Prince is going to sing about this soon. It's time for us to make a move. And that
like,
move will be...
We're living in the 80s. We're heading towards the 90s. We're living in a wild, wild west.
We are.
We need to make a Slugs movie.
I think you're right. That singularity of vision...
Slugs.
This novel. Did you guys both go, man, we really got to watch Squirm again while watching this?
Yeah, I was like, this is basically Squirm, only grosser.
Yeah, which is great, but it really made me go, we do have to circle back to Squirm one of these days, because that is still a lost movie.
Well,
yeah,
what's Squirm. Funny, too, what's funny too is at the bottom on the IMDb, the stuff it has tagged is Squirm, The Nest, Video Dead, Bloody Birthday, and Mosquito. I own all of those movies. I looked at those five, like, yep, that's all in that wheelhouse. Like, I would put Night of the Creeps in there. You know, like, just sort of bubbling absurdity type of things that just occurred from mid late 70s to the mid late 80s. It's just like, yep, this is all. Although Mosquito, actually, now that I think about it, Mosquito came out in the 90s, but it doesn't feel that way. It's just great.
And we can also say, of that entire list, the only one where the poster actually fulfills its promise is Slugs. Because it has that awesome, like, lying on the floor with the blood coming out of the mouth and the slug. Even, I think even more so than, like, the movie is even more gory and creepy than that, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like The Nest where you have the, like, giant cockroach and the woman in her underwear kind of bent backwards with the cockroach menacing her and that shit. So,
Okay, we're going to play a game here, Charlie.
Okay.
Because you just said that based on the things that were recommended, and you're like, and I own all those. I posit that we could go to any horror movie on IMDb. That would be true. So I just randomly typed in Sleepaway Camp. And let's see what it says. What did you say?
Oh, Sleepaway Camp. Gotcha.
Sleepaway Camp. So do you own Sleepaway Camp and in the Incarnation?
One and two.
Okay, good. So far we're good. My Bloody Valentine?
Yeah. I have like three copies of that.
Okay.
Wait, actually, Slumber, do you mean Party, the original one or the remake?
The original, yes.
Yeah, no. God, brain. Yeah, My Bloody Valentine, I have both of them.
Okay. And Slumber Party Massacre?
I've never actually owned that one. That one's been available on VOD forever, so.
So we're 2 out of 3 for me picking a random horror movie to see if you own all the things that says are connected with that. So I feel like when you're like, and you know what? I thought, hey, isn't that weird that I own all these? I feel like at this point you should assume you own whatever movies. If you didn't. You'd be, honestly, if you were like, I've never heard of that. Mm. That freaks me out.
Yeah, when you say that,
that's when the Great and Powerful Oz is like, nope, draw the line at hearts, so you don't get one, son. Like, off you go. Like, what? No, I thought anything but that. Well, like that's weird.
Was it last year when they did the summer movies? They did the summer camp movie series at the Ritz for Alamo. They did The Burning and they did Sleepaway Camp. But then there was an Argento one that's like super obscure. And quite literally the only version that exists is like this VHS copy that came out in Japan. And so the guy that does Chair Tuesdays, it was his copy from Japan. So it's like, it's literally the only copy that exists. So what, on this already super bizarre movie, which I have to look up to remember the damn name of, the super great, weird camp movie that's just so beyond the pale odd. It also has Japanese subtitles at the bottom. So in addition to being just a crazy fuck all movie, it also has Japanese subtitles just to put the bow in the whole box. You know, it's just absolutely, absolutely, absolutely wonderful is what that is.
So the first, we're introduced to our hero who is a health inspector, which we wouldn't get another great heroic health inspector in cinema until Larry the Cable Guy : health inspector. So
I feel like I had a bit of a, was it Walter Peck from Ghostbusters?
That guy?
I had a bit of a just like, is the health thing going to actually cause a greater problem or not? Like, I feel like I had a moment of flashing to like, never seems to go out when someone comes in to regulate on shit. Like, it's the 80s.
It's Nate G.
Yeah, because exactly. Like, well, sure, if it's Warren Dogg or, Nate Dogg or Warren G. Like, that might happen. But
wow, I was almost cool for a second, and then I conflated Nate Dogg and Warren G.
Yeah, as you do.
Oh, well, I made them an entity called Nate G, which I figure would be even stronger than
it was more powerful than you could ever imagine.
Can I point out that our hero's name is Mike Brady?
Yes.
I thought that was fantastic.
Well, one of the best lines of this entire movie is when he goes running in the mayor's office, and then I wrote it down, and I was thinking I might actually change my signature on my email, which is usually the Carl Sagan quote, but I was thinking I was going to change it to, my name is Mike Brady, and I'm the county health inspector. Because it's like, that just as a statement into the world is just a beautiful thing, really.
So if you imagine this as a prequel to the Brady Bunch, where he's still with his first wife, right?
Yeah.
He's a little bit old, maybe, to be, but, you know, we'll just assume that's the vagaries of casting. But, good old Mike Brady is going to investigate our slug-infested town in a way. And he is a horrible, horrible actor. Oh, is that guy.
Yeah, this movie is filled with utter shitshow acting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is too bad because I think we briefly touched on the effects in this movie are really satisfying.
Yeah.
It's a dumb movie.
I liked this, but it's also got like the. I thought he was good.
There are one or two people that kind of work, but like And the most scientists. Of the people are terrible actors. Plus, you've got the whole things are so obviously 80-yard that's distracting. If everything is 80-yard, I can kind of roll with it. But if some of it is, really kind of, it's like, it kind of, you never get to lull into a sense of just like, okay, we're kind of good. But yeah, just terrible, terrible acting. And then you're like, what the fuck is that about? As someone's face is just like melted off and little gross clear worms are squiggling all over it. And you're like, that's fucking astoundingly cool. Like, thank you, movie, for reminding me that the 80s were a good time for horror, even if the movies weren't always good. Like, god damn, it's some fun shit.
Mike is a bad actor, though, in a way that I've never seen before.
Hmm.
He delivers every line with the same inflection. Like, you could write it out on sheet music. Almost.
I see what you mean.
He's like, Mr. Mayor, I have come to talk to you about this. We need to go in there and get that guy. What are we going to do about these slugs? It's the same fucking notes like on the scale every time.
Yeah, like he had a coach that was like, no, you've got to add some more inflection to your voice to make it more interesting.
Like, you know, when you're like, reading.
And he gave him like a line read, and he's like, oh, so you go up in the middle.
Yeah.
And then he just was like, I guess good acting means you go up in the middle of your line, and when you're talking about things, people find it more interesting because you're using inflection.
Oh, honey, I thought you were dead.
Yeah. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
So, there's definitely, I think you kind of hit the nail like on
also
the top.
Also, if you're not careful when you're reading stuff out loud, you'll get into reading every line the same.
You'll pick up a simple rhythm that you repeat.
Which he does. So, but, I mean, Mike Brady he's fine. He's not super annoying, which is enough. Sanitation engineer guy is great. He's got heart. He's good.
Sure.
I love British science guy. Who's like, any moment, he's like, I believe it's about to get sexy. It seems like he's just short of just Austin Powersing all over the thing. And I kind of wanted a scene where he reveals that accent is fake.
Oh, that would be great.
I kind of felt like it kind of drooped a bit, didn't it? I mean, am I crazy? I thought the accent kind of just sort of waxed and waned as things went along.
Makes perfect sense in this movie that might.
Like, he's a British sciencey fellow. He does the British sciencey things. Although, in terms of, like, unintended humor, he possesses one of my more favorite scenes for that, which was the bit where he's, like, doing the, he's, like, dissecting the one slug to look inside and put the stuff on the little slide bit or whatever. Meanwhile, there's a little cage next to the thing where there's a little hamster watching what's taking place, and he's just like, the hamster's sort of like, I didn't know this was this kind of place. I don't want that to happen to me because I'm a hamster. I'm very cute and I don't want to be cut in half and put it on a little slide. Meanwhile, he does not notice the slug making haste, going very, very fast into the cage as
well. All for a slug.
Yeah, he's just ever so slowly. I love the image of this little hamster with his hands on the bars, you know, like, and just sort of watching the sort of dissection take place. Like, oh, god damn it.
Then the slug shows up, and the little hamster's rattling the bars, just, add a cup, add a cup.
It's like, how did you get a cup? How did you get a cup that tiny?
And a harmonica.
Yes.
That's the really amazing part.
The thing of fucking harmonica.
He's honestly not even bad.
Are you playing Blues Traveler in there? You stop playing Blues Traveler in there.
I'll go back to Folsom Prison.
He's like, look. I'm on a wheel. I am literally giving the runaround.
Oh.
Hey.
He's like, yeah, well, the hook brings you back. And just like,
aye.
Yanks him out. Anyway, this is that never happened.
Oh, so going back over this thing, like, you go back, you have the thing with the teacher lady and our guy, Mike Brady. And you have, like, they're like, hey, we're going to kind of settle down for the evening or whatever else. And meanwhile, there's like a slug outside sort of like breathing. What? Do they? I guess it's breathing heavily on the window, sort of, but. That was kind of amusing. Then the whole littering banter with the sheriff, who's very stickler for the rules. We have our drunk lady, who's the wife of business fellow. I do really love when she comes back with her groceries in a little bit. And like, clearly, like, we're going to start seeing slugs all over the damn place. And like, she brings her groceries back, takes whatever else is in those bags. She takes the two heads of lettuce, goes poof into the sink, and the lettuces start jostling around. And I just kind of wrote down, like, well, that's more active than your average lettuce. I was like, okay, well, that's delightful.
Ask your doctor if your lettuce is.
Oh, so ask your doctor about lettuce vitra. I got nothing.
Well, and then you restless lettuce syndrome is.
You have the you have the two folks that are at the greenhouse, and she's like this kind of unpleasant old bat, and the guy is like grumpy, fuck off you, and all that stuff.
Speaking of awful ADR,
oh man, those
these
that one is bad.
Shrill people.
That one is that one is tough. Like that one is just sort of like, it's like, oh man, it's gonna make your head hurt. But then like he gets attacked, and then like he's like trying to get at his hand, but he like cuts off his hand, and then there's sort of like some chemical situation happening, and then
which
some
I
stuff.
Liked as kind of a throwback to the Blob remake.
Mm.
Of like, dude, kind of hatcheting off his wrist, and it's like, yeah, all right, cool, I can get behind that.
Never helps.
No, yeah, it never seems
unless
to.
It's Evil Dead, you know.
Sure, actually, you're right. I think that's the one time that it actually helped anything.
Well, then you get the what you get though, which is delightful, and again, this is one of those things of a time period where you get like you get the first of many fantastic explosions, and it's just sort of like these are not done on computers, ladies and gentlemen.
I was honestly also taken aback by going, God damn.
They exploded the shit out of that green.
Yeah, like, damn.
And that
like,
happens
you know what I mean?
Too,
that, like, that made me go, God. Like, they didn't have the budget for that. That had to have been wildly dangerous.
Do you suppose it was a model?
No, it doesn't seem like it, though.
I thought it felt a little modelly.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'd be curious to find out, because that's my first thought. It's like, oh, it's a miniature. Mm. But then looking at it, I was like, it doesn't. So either it's a very good one,
sure,
but it didn't feel like it because I had that same thought and kind of my brain kind of vetoed that. So I don't know. I'd be curious because I was just like, I feel like you just kind of threw caution to the wind because like the fact that you get this like wet raining fire back on the roof that just kind of splashes back. I'm like, that's awful. That's like a jet fuel fire. It's not okay.
That would explain why it did not melt the steel beams of the greenhouse.
Of course. So
the slugs are an inside job, it turns out, because they're inside the pipes.
Yep.
This movie
slugs did 9/11 is what we're saying,
right? So how many ways does this movie get its premise right?
Like, oh, in all the ways.
It understands that a slug by itself is not really a threatening thing.
Yeah, they smoosh.
So yeah, it just focuses on like just carpets of slugs.
Which, again, like, calling back to Squirm, which I guess I shouldn't be calling back to a show that no one heard.
Right.
But, like, yeah, like, that's fun. It's, if you're going to have a tiny little antagonist,
mm-hmm.
have a lot of tiny little antagonists. Like, that's
and
fun.
And they look good. Like, they have the sheen on them.
They really do.
When there's a bunch of them together, you don't see any seams, really.
Do we know, what was the deal there? How was that done? Do we know?
That I do not know. I don't know. They actually released, there is a version of this that I believe has some kind of making of on it, but... That was not the, cause I watched it on Shudder. However, if Vulcan does have the Blu-ray that's from Scream or Shout Factory that's got the making of on there, I may want to spend $3 just to see that documentary.
I think it'd be fat, cause I looked at that going, these just seem like slugs.
Yeah.
And like, did they just spray paint a few slugs? And those are the close-up hero shots of the slugs. And then the rest are just
like.
That's
an idea, Matt. That's fantastic. A bunch of slugs make up like, wow, that was weird. What happened? Like, dude, what's wrong with your skin? What's wrong with your skin? Oh my God.
Yeah.
What happened?
And that's how we taught slugs racism.
Yeah.
But
they're not doing a show about it. Shit. Well, I guess they kind of are. Now I think about it, but
it's like, I think we're doing blackface. But I mean, if none of us are black, is it blackface? I don't know.
Yeah, that whole sequence when they walked into the one sewer drain and they're all singing Mammy, which was just super strange.
Yeah, they're like, I want to watch Al Jolson. But because I was like watching it, I was like, that just seems really natural. That doesn't seem like a puppet. And so, and maybe there are just random slugs. And for the thing is, like, the other thing you could do there, because you almost only see the really good movement that you see that seems very natural and alive, is a very isolated shot. So that slug could be a quarter inch long.
Yeah.
So they found that looks like what they want and then did super close ups of the movement. And then of course, when you pan out and you got like a room full of them,
then you can make
just
them
kind
in
of
your,
writhing.
Like rubber.
The same with Squirm.
Yeah. Make them out of rubber or whatever.
What? And so like maybe they did that or maybe the, you know, I mean, there are big slugs. Like,
oh,
banana
sure.
slugs. I mean, hell, that's fucking mascots for sports teams. Banana slug. Do. But
son of a bitch. I really love the one slug puppet that bites the guy on the
yes.
finger.
So good.
Because it's so like good. Oh look, a little slug, and you actually get to zoom in and have the slug go And then bite.
So good.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that's not how slugs work.
So I love that, like, you never have to worry about making your people do stupid things to get caught up in this danger that's not super dangerous. Like, the couple can be fucking in bed, which is fine. That's the place you do that thing.
That is not a stretch.
Yeah. Yeah, and the slugs can come out of the toilet while they're busy and just kind of arrange, you know, make a carpet on the floor, and then as soon as somebody steps down, they're just toast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an inevitability.
Jesus.
That one is great, by the way, yeah. Where, like, Chicky steps off the bed, slips, and you're like, into the pile of slugs.
Yeah.
And you get a really gratuitous, like, booty shake as she has her first convulsion. But then she's just like, you gotta help. And the guy's like,
the fuck I will.
I don't think there's a good outcome for this. I really think this is kind of, you're already done for.
Once the eye is just dangling from the socket.
Yeah, once she's got the hollow, because I was watching this with Megan, and I was like, I think your best option is just run, bro. And mm-hmm. she's like, dude, just leave her there. I'm like, she's already missing an eye.
Yeah.
Like, it's, they burrowed into her skull. Like, what's the best case scenario at this point? Like, you bring the corpse somewhere to be buried? Like, you're kind of done here. And, like, he, in a cowardly fashion, sort of makes the only practical decision, which is like, I gotta go.
Although yeah. he's really bad at it, though.
I gotta go. Oh, he's terrible at it. He's that was incapable amazing. It was just like, acting like a human.
It's like, well, there's multiple pieces of furniture here, and there's a window is about 7 feet at an angle over that way. And I'm just gonna do this, like, weird thing. It seemed as though, like, he was trying to step onto a boat. Like, he's just sort of like, he's just kind of moving in such a way.
From dock. That kid fell in so much lava when he was like five.
So many lavas.
Yeah.
Yeah. That he was fucked.
So you got the kills in this are fantastic. You got that one. You got the guy who eats the lettuce that had the chopped up slug in it.
It's
like, he's in gastrointestinal distress. Like, why?
And I was like, are we going to get, like, mutated human slugs?
But, oh, no, he just falls and explodes with, like, slug-borne virus from within, or blood flukes.
Yeah, is that not one of the worst words that's ever been invented?
Frosted flukes, yeah.
It's fluke? Pretty great.
No, it's awful. That's an awful word.
Oh, no, that's like, have you ever, oh, man, Parasite Rex, you ever read that shit?
No.
Oh, you should, because it's all about that kind of creepy shit. And you talk about one-handed reading. Like, oh, tell me more.
So you have the other hand over your eyes going, Jesus.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's exactly what I meant. But, you get really good, nasty, gory corpses covered in weird, writhing shit that seems to me, at least, to be very clearly just, they threw some bugs on this shit.
Yeah.
And they're very different because, like, people die from those big black slugs, but then their corpses have these weird, like, clear worms squirming all about their, like, ocular cavities and shit. And it's like, that's very obviously a different kind of bug.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a bug, what the fuck, but a different kind of thing.
It's a spider. We've covered this before.
You're right. It's pronounced moose. But
if this is your first episode, welcome to this.
Yeah.
You're not having a stroke. We're actually saying these things.
Yeah. Unless you smell popcorn, in which case, yes. But it's just like, so there's weird things that kind of are these little non sequiturs that just make shit look more fucked. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
like, I think that's totally okay. They did such a good job of making this stuff look fucking gross. And it's like, you know what? If having some shit squirm around in there is going to make it even more baller, go for it. Yay. Thank you for that. That's awesome.
So I think it's funny. Scientist guy comes up with this brilliant solution to kill the slugs, which is like a potion that explodes on contact with the moisture.
Yeah.
But I love that sanitation guy goes, and you want to put this in the sewer? Yep. Like the driest place known to man, sewer?
Because, I mean, you know, just on a really humid day?
Right.
What happens? And, of course, Megan goes, I mean, like, salt, right?
Yeah, I was so expecting this, like, well, truck has got to go to the grocery store. You know, we got to get the ice trucks for the winter with the salt.
And you get, like, those fertilizer things where you kind of just turn it and just kind of spreads a 20-foot radius of granulated fertilizer, but you fill it with salt and go, ha-ha! And you have little kids with, like, little, you know, belts full of salt shakers crisscross, like, bandoleros, and just, like, ha-ha!
Yeah, really the only person who should die in a slug attack is Jimmy Buffett.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. Because I feel like this could have very quickly turned into like Monster Squad with like the whole town just kind of like
improvising salt weapons.
Mounting up with salt weapons, and that would have been amazing.
It's like, Lot, drag your wife out here.
Tip her over. No, roller, east.
Well, I think if shit, that one just walked up to the office door and went, tung, 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 tung. I have to take a look at something. Like, okay, well, I'll walk in, open the file. Oh, that's a joke. Shit. delightful. You know what I would love? We're talking about the mutant thing, you know, the kind of the combination, you know, mutant sort of idea. If the Scouts Guide people were going to remake an 80s horror movie, this is your movie, guys. Because then you could make some mutant slug people hybrid things. They could be all slippery and gross, like kind of like a Slither type situation, sort of. And then you could have just like whatever kid, you know, Ty Sheridan, like tying fucking salt licks on ropes and just swinging him around and just like, oh, I can see it. I can see it now.
So good.
Oh, salt lick nunchucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Don't cry.
Yeah. It's funny. I never once while watching this was thought like, oh, this is like Slither is the modern version of this, but it totally is. But that never occurred to me while watching this.
No, I was thinking, I thought of Night of the Creeps.
Yeah.
Night of the Creeps, yeah.
Without a Squim.
A little Squim.
One of the little bits of mechanism in this silly movie, which gives you some kind of idea that maybe they just were having a bit of fun doing creative stuff, was like just little bits of business, like the sheriff who just like just major stickler for rules. Mm-hmm. It's just a character trait for some reason, and it's just like it just gives him the business of like having the littering talk, and then later on, like,
well, he has a perspective at least.
Yeah, it's just like,
yeah.
So you have that, and then you have our buddy, our guy Mike Brady, who as things are starting to escalate, he comes back to the office, and this is time frame sensitive. And no cell phones. So he goes out and does his thing, and he comes back to the office, and then the lady at the office says, hi, you got this message, this thing, got this other thing. Like, okay, I'll be back a little bit later. And he comes back, and they're like, oh, the sheriff has called. You got to go to this place. All right. And he goes, and he calls the secretary as he's going back to the office, and no, you got to go out to old man Brady's house, and then they got this explosion, and then they got to go there. All right. And he comes back to the office, like, oh, you got to go back over to the school, because the science fellow with the coming and going British accent's got some shit to show you. And it's just like, at some point, I wrote down my notes, it's like Mike Brady spends zero time at his office.
It's true.
He doesn't get a lot done.
No, not really. I mean, it's just like he's
pretty ineffectual.
He's gonna have a big stack of those little pink while you were out things. And it's just sort of like, man.
I love that he was the first person that they called when the guy died with the blood flukes. It was like, well, clearly there were worms in his food, and so that's why he had the worms. And meanwhile, there are two other people sitting there that are fine.
Yeah.
Like, well, maybe not so much.
Well, then you also get the Italian restaurant. You get the little chef guy in the back who's super pissed. About any suggestion that there be worms in his food, he just curses a blue streak and whatever the hell kind of strange, interesting tag-along Italian that he was speaking. It was just sort of like, well, this is different.
So we got, in the end, there is another gigantic explosion.
Yes, my which God!
Is almost identical to the end of Mimic.
Yes!
Which made me think that Mimic, that's gotta be an homage, right? Because it's like setting the entire sewer on fire.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, so but they don't get the just like natural, like they talk a lot about how there's a lot of methane gas in here, and if we just a single spark would make the whole place go up. So I kind of figured we would get, you know, like the lighter flick or something.
Right.
But instead they actually deliver the potion and it explodes as advertised.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we get the one last slug just like hanging out, smoking a cigarette, going, by the way, we reproduce hermaphroditically like they said earlier.
Yeah, so you're boned.
I am the sequel.
It does feel a little bit like the end of Revenge of the Sith, just a little bit. It's just like all red around him. He's just like, oh, you fucker. I'm going to get you, Mike Brady. You know, it's just like, but going back real quickly, one interesting thing with this too was like, and again, this makes me think that they were having entirely too much fun. So the kind of slightly prudish girl who like doesn't want to hook up with the lame ass, like annoying fellow, like it's just one of those things where he's like, we're gonna do a little bit of hey next to the tree. And she's like, fuck off you. And then like the other guy's gonna scare him. She falls down a mine shaft and then fucking dies. So it's kind of like, it's one of those things where she does not have sex in the film. And then she's rewarded for that prudent decision by getting slugged. And I was just like,
huh. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's like, I was kind of surprised by that. I was like, that was interesting. Also, there's a lot of business with our science guy trying to open the manhole cover. I was like,
oh my God.
He's still at it. He's still at it.
You're a scientist. Do you not understand how leverage works?
So dumb. Yeah.
just like, God, that killed me.
Pick end of the axe and pulls it towards him.
Yeah, and it's just like, that's not even a little how this works.
It was just, God, that killed me. I was just giggling like I think I almost paused it. Cause it's, every time they go back to the science guy, like, yep, still trying to get the goddamn manhole cover off of there.
So bad. Yeah.
Like, oh my God. But yeah, that explosion, I mean, I don't think that could be modeling cause it just is like the scale of it. It almost makes me wonder if it's like some abandoned town or something, or like maybe they just have something, you know, I don't know, but like, that was just amazing. Just watching an explosion. Oh, blow up a couple cars too. Fuck it. It's just like, oh man.
Yeah. If anybody listening knows about this, maybe this is like someone's like one of their favorite little hidden gems from the '80s or something. So if you know more about this, comment on the Facebook or whatever. Like I'd love to hear, any inside scoop people might have about this.
It's
anytime amazing. That manhole covers get blown up into the air. And then just come raining down.
That's pretty cool.
To me, that is extra real because manhole cover is real heavy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't really want to be under one.
Yeah. Yeah.
There needs to be, anytime they do that, there needs to be just one dude with no fucking head anymore.
Yeah.
She's like, is that manhole cover bubbling? And then she's like, no more head for you.
I agree. I like this.
All right, so what do we think? Let's just wrap it in up on this one.
Let me begin.
I can't keep doing that. Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
It's hip hop, the hip to the hop, to the hip, to the rapidy rip, rap, rapidy do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You start, Charlie. What do you think?
Yeah, this is delightful. This is just, I enjoy this caliber of film. It's not necessarily, it's not scary per se. The gore effects are good. It seems like they're having fun, which is delightful, and I really love that. So, it's got, you know, pacing stuff, but it's not bad for pacing, really. So overall, really enjoyable, fun characters, just absurdness. So I'm going to say, I think I want to do for that stuff. I want to say 6.5 out of 10. I'll say 6.5 out of 10, 6.5 out of 10 demented crickets and rampaging mosquitoes.
Nice.
Cause my God.
And here's the thing. I think you kind of had the same, maybe we all do, had kind of the same approach I had, which is like, this isn't a great movie.
Nope.
But I was relatively gleeful in my consumption of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this is sort of the platonic ideal of the 80s horror movie, where the acting's not great, the gore effects are really good and gross. It's got an insane premise. And like, that's kind of what I would think of. When I was a kid growing up, that's what I thought horror movies were.
Sure.
Night of the Something, and it's a weird ass thing. And the acting's shitty, but I'm gonna get grossed out and have a nightmare. And I feel like that kind of, this just is exactly that. This is the, you know, everybody's, that was trying to do art to make horror that eventually dumbed itself down to like something you just kind of crank out like sausages. This one kind of hit that in that sweet spot of like being the best sausage.
Mm-hmm.
it's really fun, but I can't say it's a good movie. So I'm kind of right there with Charlie. I'm going to say this is a 6 out of 10, Caesar salads.
Render under Caesar's.
Yeah. Like this isn't going to be a thing you're going to, you know, pull off the shelf every 3 months and watch, but it's worth a viewing or two, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm glad I watched it. I think, like, they succeeded in multiple ways in having an actual credible threat, which
made a silly for fun tension. Yeah.
And they cast adults as adults.
Yeah.
And they were just some straight-up grown-ups doing grown-up shit, which I appreciated. There's only, like, one teenage couple. And so you have grown-ups and you have people who are not just complete shit shows for no reason.
Yeah.
So I think that contributed to it too. So yeah, I really enjoyed watching it. And, you know, as far as like it being greater important, I can't give it those bonus points, but definitely a 6.5 out of 10, sexy British scientists.
Nice.
Good. Oh. I had fun. Anyway, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our other two films. So our next up is Chaz, or El Tocino Grande que viven en el bosque en desde cerca del pueblo en Korea.
That's way too long.
Y come unos pueblerinos.
Now you're showing off.
No, it's just like, this is a big... I believe that Chaz stands for the big pig that lives in the forest near the village and eats a bunch of people. So...
Okay, I'm back on board.
Might as well. The
Wikipedia says the Korean title is pronounced chow, which means trap in the something-something dialect that I think I'll just sound racist if I try to say. So.
Yeah.
Right?
Whoa.
But, so.
Actually, that's the dialect in which All of Law and Order is written. Because it's the
Chung Chung.
The Chung Chung dialect.
I think you're
Chung
right.
Chung.
But, I had trouble nailing down exactly what the name of this movie, because depending on where you look, it's Chaws, like C-H-A-W-Z, or just C-H-A-W some
right.
places. I don't know. But at any rate, big-ass pig eating people.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's a strong premise to me. I like
sure.
that. I like a big thing
well,
eating
you,
stuff.
You've seen, have you
that's
seen
fun.
Razorback, right?
I've not.
Oh, dread.
I feel like we've had this conversation,
yeah, no,
but it's been
have,
like a year.
I think we have, too. It's just like, Razorback is one that I just, like, that one is dear to my heart, because it's just... It's you take everything that's great about Australia and you throw a big fucking pig in there, who's got a grudge, who's got a grudge. It's just like it's all great.
Pig.
So yeah, I share that. I share that.
Grudge pig away.
So one thing I was gonna mention just from the onset, and I wonder if you guys struggle with this too, which is that I feel like because they tag this as being like a comedy sort of or like a satire, and
yeah, they seem to keep touting it as a black comedy satire-y thing.
Yeah, and so like, so what I was wondering was just from the onset, I wonder if you guys had some of the same struggle that I did, which was that they seemed to be lampooning certain things that were like just not cultural touchstones that I understood really, you know, like it just sort of like there are certain things that they just would mention or seem to be making a joke about. I was like, I don't know what's supposed to
be. Yeah. I'm definitely inclined to say there are things that are lost in translation here.
Yeah, because, like, to me, it just played, like, a really uneven tone.
Yeah.
Where, like, you hear the goofy, like, Benny Hill cops falling down the ravine, but then at the same time, there is the corpse.
Yeah.
But then there's that, like, deadpan business with the police, like, now we're gonna have to question you and do this, and be like, yeah, but he's been dead for, like, a month. Like, sure, but how do we know that you didn't kill him? Like... Kind of dry humor, I guess, but there was no chance that it was going to translate.
There's a thing that we're like, you must have to be like, ah ha ha, this is because ineffectual cops or overzealous bureaucracy. There's going to be something that would make sense. You
it's
know,
like, with the
like
host,
if you did a thing
you know?
Here, yeah, like if you did a movie here and it was just like, oh, like, you know, like Bullworth,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a thing that shows how fucked up the media and political system is. That makes sense to us because of our system. I bet that does not play if you take it to a country that has a totally different system. So, like, I feel like there's something here that they're recognizing on its face value immediately is like, ah ha ha.
Yeah.
But we're just not living in it, so we don't... I think that has to be happening. Otherwise, this is dumb as fuck.
It's a little too silly, but it
yeah.
keeps being described as, like, a brilliant black comedy, so...
Well, that was kind of why I wanted to bring it up, because it's like, at times... It gets to the silly and the absurd to a level where I refer to my notes as, and I'll stick with me on this one. I refer to my notes as Porkinado. Let's tone. But then, but then other parts of it was like, it kind of felt dire and kind of like almost like more like The Host. So it's like, it just,
yeah.
you know, it's like, so
and The
like,
Host
it
is
just
great.
Swings so wildly where it's just super silly, like the Sharknado movies. And the other end.
Speaking of Porkinado, you know, Sharknado 4 is on right now as
yeah.
we record. So. Guess what's coming up soon, listeners?
I
will make these assholes watch that movie.
I really do think that Porkinado would be a burrito that I would eat.
Absolutely.
A restaurant that would become my favorite
yeah,
restaurant.
I would like put that in me.
Yeah.
I don't even care how. I want you to put your Porkinado in me.
Oh, Christ.
You have
I've waited my whole life to hear a girl
like,
nah. I'm not proud.
I want to have veto power over your Porkinado. the So, like, The Host, though, is... It has those moments that are a little bit silly and genuinely funny, but then it has such depth with the characters when it wants to. And the monster is so fucking good. And, like...
It is neat.
I hold that up as an example of, like, it doesn't have to be this movie. It's not just that we can't get it when a Korean movie is going for XYZ, because The Host does it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, the dumbest thing that I can say about this movie is also the best thing, is that I kind of thought it was a big bore.
Oh. I love that you took a moment to kind of look at me and then smirk. Yeah. No, I think I agree with you, is that, like, this movie promised more in my head than the actual film delivered, and
yeah.
I guess that's my fault, but it's also like, no, you were onto something. You know, because to me, what I get from this is,
Sparta?
No. this movie is someone doing Carnosaur without the irony and without the kind of cynical cashing in on something else.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? You're doing a big, goofy monster that you probably can't quite afford to put on screen, killing a bunch of folks, except you kind of pulled off the monster. And you have the locations and stuff, but you didn't quite get there with the script. It's overlong, and it's so uneven. And again, maybe there's translation issues, but, like, whatever, you gotta, you know, you can only rate the movie you saw. But it's like, this could have been a really fun monster movie,
mm-hmm.
but it never, it's like it doesn't, maybe it's just that it's not willing to be that, and it's trying to do a little more by being a little funny, or by being a little referential to things that we don't know the reference to.
Right.
Or if it just settled into, what if we just had a big-ass pig running around killing people, and people freak out and try to do things that don't work, and that's ineffectual, and we'll have some levity in there here, sprinkled in, because that's fun. So you could have a couple people that are ineffectual in their tasks, but maybe not literally everyone.
Right.
And that would actually fucking work. And so it's like there's the bones of a good movie here that I think maybe had too much scaffolding built around it.
There are times, very few, though, times where I thought this rose above Sci-Fi Channel. Mm-hmm. And the only one that comes to mind is when the couple runs over the girl on the bike and just dumps her.
Ugh.
Like, they have this conversation, and they just come to this kind of bone-chilling decision, and it's played for very, very black comedy. That was neat.
Yep.
The rest of it, I just, like, for Jesus God, it should not have been over 2 hours long. There's no excuse for that. And the monster is occasionally fine, but for the most part, he's more on your Chupacabras versus the Alamo side of things.
Jeez,
it's closer to sci-fi than it is to Hollywood.
It's closer to Sharknado than it is to Jurassic World, guys.
Oh, sure, yeah, but that's a wide field. But, I mean, I was fine with it. I found it acceptable. Yeah. I don't think that ever took me out of the movie.
I didn't really, because The Host exists.
And sure.
It came out before this.
But, I mean, again, I don't know,
fellas,
what we're looking at for budget.
They had seven times the budget of Sharknado.
No, not Sharknado, The Host, though.
Yeah.
Sure. Versus this. Like, maybe The Host had seven times the budget of this. Maybe these guys just didn't know what they were doing. I don't know. But it's like, you know what, I knew what they were going for, and therefore when it's a big puppet mouth that is really looks like a flappy mouth puppet as the boar, I was like, ah, puppet. And then when it was CGI, I was like, okay, your CGI is getting you by. And other times you're like, that seems like a really big practical thing. Interesting, that's a bold move. And I'm just kind of, and maybe that's the wrong move, though. Maybe that is actually a knock against the movie, that I was watching the craft of it instead of it. So maybe that's a bad thing, but I enjoyed watching how they were pulling off the giant boar attack.
I don't think it gives you anybody to root for, or with, or near. And, you know, did I mean to go for another pun with root? Did I?
Oh, son of a bitch.
Will never know. I don't fucking know.
Charlie, where do you fall on this? Please save me from this conversation.
I don't want to truffle about it, but the you piece of shit.
You're both fired. Chip, you're the new co-host. Megan is probably also quitting because of hearing you two.
Yeah, well, look, I'm not going to run away. I'm just going to be kind of a trotter.
God damn it.
Good Lord.
It's so easy to piss you off.
Oh, you piece of shit.
Oh, my goodness gracious. A couple of bits of business that I liked. I love the thing of like, you know, they, like, oh, if you hide behind an umbrella and then it'll mistake you for a rock.
What the fuck was that about?
Super great. It was just like, cause at moments, like there are moments in this that do remind me of like the original Piranha or a little bit like Witching and Bitching where they're like, they get into like.
Or even, like Dead Alive.
Yeah, where it's like, here's an absurd situation.
It's just bonkers.
Good luck to you. Cause then you, on top of that, you have crazy lady who carries a doll around. You have his abusive nut bar mother. You have this like, this police chief who just cannot be buggered to do anything. And so you have all these like weird elements that are just sort of floating around and stuff. It's like at moments it did remind me a little bit of the 70s Piranha a little bit. Although, with the one point when they're like, they have all like the groves and the farm and stuff and people come up from the city to come pick fruit and it's organic and they pay more for it and blah, 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 blah. At one point I did totally, it was just like that, it was like Jaws or, you know, Piranha, where it's just sort of like, it's like, oh, they want to close the beach for the weekend or the orchard or whatever. It's like, oh, this is Jaws. Like, ah, okay. You know, it's just like, fantastical. I think in the last 15, 20, 25 minutes or somewhere in that ballpark, I think it kind of just, I mean, it doesn't feel original necessarily. I mean, I kept thinking of Temple of Doom with the whole cart sequence and stuff and all that kind of jazz. But it's like, you know, I mean, it's sort of like, I don't know. I was just like, I found that whole thing fun. Like, I think if they had taken a bunch of the silly stuff out of towards the beginning part of it, it would have been a little more concise. But I don't know. I think it's kind of enjoyable. I think it's pretty fun. I love the bit. Oh my God. I love the bit when they're at the little mountain guy's cabin. And they're like talking about like finding the dung and the hair and this thing and whatever else. And then from off screen, you hear the girl's like, cut. Okay, we're going to do it with a little more emotion. And the guy's like, oh, what do they do this? Okay, you're going to do it this way? All right. And they come in the board time, like, oh, this thing, blah, 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 blah. Like,
that is amazing.
That whole bit, moment. Just like, God, that fucking killed me. I was cracking my ass up about that. I thought it was.
Yeah, that got me and Megan talking. I'll keep this brief. Remember back when MTV had that series that was like, I want to be a whatever? And, you know, random teens would be like, I want to be a whatever, stuntman or a race car driver. And they would, like, give them a week to go do that. One of those was, I want to be an improv comic.
Hmm.
And so they sent this girl to Jill Bernard in Minneapolis, one of the funniest people breathing. And it filmed a reality show there. And knowing Jill Bernard, I got to talk to her about that experience, which she said was, oh, yeah, that's what taught me that reality shows were utter bullshit. Like, we all kind of go, that seems fake. But when you hear it, because it's like, you know, it's improv. We're comedians. Yeah. We sleep late. We don't get to things on time. There's a reason we have to do this. And so, but there was like a thing where like, okay, like they're at whatever for like a lesson and the camera crew's there and everyone, Jill's there. And the gal walks in, like, you know, 10 minutes late. And she's like, sorry I'm late. She's like, it's cool. All right. So, here's what we're going to do. And they just go, cut. And she's like, what? And they go, she can't be late. And she goes, well, she is.
Yeah.
I can't change that. And he's like, no. Like, that's unacceptable. You have to, like, you can't allow that. And she's like, but it's not a big deal. I mean, like, it's not, no. It's like, no. So, they had to reshoot her coming in multiple times until Jill was angry enough at her that they deemed it acceptable. Then they could start the improv lesson.
Oof.
So they literally did, like, you have to be pissed. And she's like, I don't get mad at people. I don't yell at people. Like, if you've ever met Jill Bernard, nope. She's a good person. You know, like, Brooke's no shit. She's not like a, you know, someone to be walked upon. But like, no, like, she's not going to just flip out on somebody. Like, she'd be like, dude, not cool. You can't be late. If anything.
Yeah.
But no, like, they had her, like, going off on this girl until they got the cut they wanted. Hmm. And then it was like, okay, now teach her improv. She's like, we just spent how long having me yell at her? Like, what the fuck? That's not how you're going to get, oh, that's comedy. You know? And watching that happen in a microcosm in this movie, I was like, holy shit, that's really funny. Hmm. Old lesson at this point, but I think is so hilariously pulled off with the overt enthusiasm that these guys just pile on.
Yeah.
In the interest of being on film, which is kind of the whole thing. It's like, you know, like, we were all kind of a little past that, but it's really cute. Mm. Like, that was really funny. So, yeah, sorry, oh, digression there, but yeah, it was really fun, and like, it's a fun story.
Well, the other little bit of business that I kind of cracked myself up with was, and they're like, they're setting up all the stuff, they're in the woods, and they're doing the hunting bit, and they're gonna set all this stuff up. And they set up little sensors and things, and then one little sensor goes off, and then our main hunter guy goes running into the woods, and then he goes and runs over the area where the sensor was, and then this like black goat goes wandering by, and I just like in my head I went like delicious butter,
Black Phillip.
No, I was just like, no, I was like delicious butter, as you were, and he's like off in the forest,
yeah,
because like he already has his dog talking to him.
Oh shit, Black Phillips.
he already has conversations with his dog. I just like, I like the idea of like, you know, the Black Phillip goat sort of come wandering by, sort of like living deliciously. Take it easy. Bye.
Damn, that kid gets around.
That reminds me though, the when they're setting up the little trip line thing with the sensor,
yeah,
that little thing they mount is the motion sensor we went and bought at like an Office Max for the VisionWorks I worked at as a door chime.
Ah,
that's what that is. That is a retail door chime that we mounted on the ceiling above our door. So when you walk in, it goes boop as you walk it. That's what that is.
Ah.
They just spray painted it black. And I was like, oh, that's fucking hilarious. That's like an $8 thing from like an office supply store. And he goes, so you're saying it's a motion sensor? I'm like, yeah, it's like the one we had at work. She goes, that they're setting up to look for the pig. They actually picked the exact right. I'm like, you know what? Fine. Fuck you. Like, you're right. I was about to make fun of this movie for doing a stupid thing by having a recognizable prop, except that the thing they used is actually used for... Fuck. She's like...
That gun is actually a firearm.
Yeah, and it was like, ah, shit. But yeah, it was really funny. I was like, oh my god, look, and there should be a switch on the left. And when they change the camera, I'm like, yep, there's a switch. Like, that's adorable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I like that you could see kind of the duct tape holding the production together sometimes.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it a good movie, but I kind of liked it.
Anything else that, things that really stood out or things that you...
Did you guys watch the credits?
Stood out? Huh?
No. I believe so.
No.
Did I miss something? I must have missed something because I'm not remembering.
Well, when the credits go, they like do this thing of like, they almost do like the 80s sort of early 90s sitcom thing. They like do the credits where it's like, yo, so-and-so has this character.
Oh, and they're all just kind of waving.
They kind of turn and the camera kind of grin. I love in that part of it, like, I love the girl, the bike girl who gets sort of upended by the cow and falls in the hill. She does the same exact maneuver falling on the ground as she does, she's being attacked by the pig in the movie, but she just goes poof, and then it's sort of like all dead. And then she just turns, looks up at the camera and smile. And it's just sort of like, and the crazy lady, same thing. It's just sort of like, that's delightful. And then there's some credits that happen. And then we have our hunter guy who has survived, who is tied up in a shack with a diaper on. And then like the crazy lady who comes in there and then like makes him, he's got to call her mommy. And then that's the end.
Oh, yeah.
Which, why that exists, I don't know. I have no idea, really.
Doc, I feel like the movie is not long enough. We still have something left to say. Like, do you? Do you?
Yeah. I don't, like... Okay, I'll start on this one. Too long, which is I know that's a common problem I have with movies, but sorry, if you're not kind of grabbing me by the throat and dragging me with you, your movie's gonna just be overly long. Like, you know, get to the point, and if you've got me by the throat and you're dragging me through your crazy ass horror movie and I'm terrified or I'm, you know, stressed out or whatever the whole time, you can make a 3-hour movie and I won't notice.
Mm-hmm.
But if your movie has lulls and drags, then, as this one I think very, very clearly does, you're going to feel every minute. And there's nothing worse than watching a movie going, this is all right, but... Okay, we got to be hitting the third act and clicking on the little bar and going, we're not even halfway.
Yeah.
Like, that is... you know, and it's... I try not to do that because I feel like that then poisons my opinion somewhat.
Possibly.
About a film, so I try not to do that, but, like, this is one I had to watch in, like, 8 segments trying to get the goddamn stream to work on Shudder. And so it's just like, ugh, this is way too long. Didn't mind the boar. I thought that was neat. I think there's a better movie to be made of this basic story. It's, for what we get, it's a little more lackluster than even I want it to be, because I like the idea. It's just, it's not there. Mm-hmm. And it falls short of what I kind of hope for, which again, you know, like you brought up, Josh, like The Host is the really good example of the big Korean monster movie. And I love that movie, and that was really fun. And this, I kind of wanted this to be that, and like parts of me kept going, no, that's close enough, and kind of giving it a pass.
Hmm.
But overall, it's not really quite there. So this is, I'm going to say, like a 4.5 out of 10 police tape blindfolds after comically rolling down an incline. Yeah.
Hey, Charlie, I'm going to give you the last word on this one, so I'll go ahead and say I thought it was real, real, real dull, and the tonal shifts were just so weird to me. I just couldn't get my head around what the angle was, what the point of view was, what the movie's trying to get me to feel, and the wild boar was just not doing it for me in the slightest. Like, the first time it showed up, I was like, fucking real?
Mm.
And was kind of charmed, and then the more I saw it, like, no. You've gotta do better than that. You gotta do better than that. You're not in, like, the bargain bin at a truck stop. This is a movie that it has some decent respect in the world, but yeah, Jesus, was I just bored out of my skull the entire time. There were just zero fucks to give and very few moments of lightness. So I gotta give it like 2.5 out of 10, crazy ladies with, crazy ladies beating the orphans they found. It feels like she's beating them really hard. Well, no, she, it's actually pretty light for her.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, that's, I did, because we talked about this as being a movie that like, Doug Benson recommended.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can see why a person who's just stoned out of their gourd could have a blast with this movie.
Maybe I'm too old.
You know?
This is another movie that college me probably would have dug, ironically.
What do you say, Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little more hits than misses, although I found some of the stuff kind of funny. I'm still kind of bumfuzzled at Josh's fuckery about the pig. That seems very strange to me. Because it's like 2008.
Fuckery about the pig.
It's like,
I wish we could use that as a title.
Because it's just like, it's like, what is it? Like,
that's one of those old medieval games, wasn't it? Like, I say, Governor, I get for a little round of fuckery about the pig.
You know, that pig's available for rumpy pumpy.
Yeah, I was just saying, it sounds like a euphemism for something that gets you arrested. But like, maybe like 2008, 2009, and he's like, you know, it's like, it's, I don't know. That part
dude,
of it.
1999, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I kind of enjoyed that part of it. I also like the fact that like the pig was just like, they got some of these like dog pig mating things and the Japanese were doing that and they put them in the forest and stuff. But basically it just boils down to like nature, just nature naturing. Like that's just sort of what it is. It's like, it's just nature doing the nature bit. And, so that's fine. Some of the humor stuff doesn't hit and it is, the pacing's a bit screwy, but I liked it a little bit more on average. So if five is the limbo bar, then I'm going to say just a shade over that. I'll say 5.5 out of 10. If five is the mean, then I'll say 5.5 out of 10. 5.5 out of 10. Man, if I was a fish and being cooked, I'd be unruly and splashy too.
Oh my god, I forgot all about that scene.
That was
so fucking weird.
That was actually okay. That was a moment that worked.
It was so weird
because it kept just popping up.
Yeah,
and watching
the guys legitimately get splashed with like. As far as I can tell, like, gross, hot, grease, weird shit.
Yeah.
And just being like, ah, fuck. And then, like, kind of going back into their lines and being like, ah, shit. I was like, I can't tell.
It does seem like they didn't know when it was going to
flip. It
did,
right? Yeah. And I was like, that's interesting. But, yeah, like, oh, God, I forgot that scene. Ah, it's so weird.
I'll give it that. So we got two scenes. So give it a 3 for me, then.
Give it another half point for that scene.
Well done. You have entertained me this day. I always feel like that, like, I'm a generous god, can I? Penguin rating.
Well, I mean, you look like Kratos from God of War, so you might as well just decide.
I look like Kratos from God of War, like, 20 years after his prime.
Is that not where we're at? I think it's been 20 years.
When he's let the abs kind of go. And yeah, mm-hmm. I'm Kratos. Should he age in real time?
Yeah. You're mm-hmm. a modern day Kratos.
Oh, that reminds me of something that you guys will certainly appreciate. We were out with,
challenge accepted.
We were out with Kristen's cousins and her boyfriend and her cousin's son. And they came into town. They live out of town. They came into town to visit them. But they're like sweet people. They're just nice, you know, not just people, you know, just sort of normal people, I guess. They were talking about, their Kristen's cousin's brother, who is engaged to be married, and his things are going along pretty great. And Kristen's cousin was going on about how was saying that you know, he's really changed. You know, I've really seen a change in him. He's a really changed person. And I just sort of said, I said he's changed into a black woman. And they just they kind of like it was like the audible blinks of the loudest type. It was just like is what.
Normal.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I wrote down my notes, so my mental notes is sort of like, ah, normal people, gotcha.
Drat.
So I was like, you know who would appreciate that? Josh and Matt would appreciate that, and the rest of their band silly people up there. Yeah.
Rest of our lunatics. Speaking of lunatics, Mimic.
Directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Full of weirdness.
Kind of a lunatic in and of himself.
We should talk about this real quick, though. What version did you guys watch? Director's cut or the theatrical cut?
Director's cut.
I watched director's cut, Charlie?
Yeah, of course.
Director's cut? Okay, cool. Alright, just wanted to see if we're gonna have to, like, pick apart differences. I have not watched this movie since, I worked at a video store.
Mm-hmm.
Where and I took it home and watched and was like, cockroach movie. That was about as much as I remember of it.
90s, the movie.
I had a problem where I kept expecting Ben Affleck to show up and going, no, it's Phantoms. And like, I kept doing that and then going, Affleck was the bomb in Phantoms, yo. And then being like, shut up, you're not watching Phantoms. But then I go, we're like an hour in and there's no Ben Affleck. No, that's not Ben Affleck. It's a Mimic. Affleck was a bomb of fans. I kept doing that and I was ashamed of myself, but I kept it all internal until now.
So I should point out that the Mimic is El Imitador. And that, in English, Guillermo del Toro is just Billy the Bull. Bill of the Bull.
I like that.
So, call me Bill of the Bull.
I like that very much so.
And, I would argue, though, that there is nothing in this that says Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, I disagree with that entirely.
Lightest.
Really?
No.
You don't? Wow.
No. I feel like this could have been directed by anybody. I don't see any of his signatures on here.
The creepy dissection of the thing where they're, like, picking at gunk, the, like, shit stuck to... Like, there's so much Hellboy in this to me.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way, too.
This is a very... Yeah, this is a very amateur hour, Del Toro, because he's not developed the style and we're giving the carte blanche to do what he thinks.
I mean, but he has, you know, because he did Kronos before this. I feel like...
That's a movie.
I feel like this
is... I got to say Ubra on stage on today feet. Because I think of you when I think of that.
But on my feet I have some socks. I don't know, I'm just trying to play, I'm not sure.
Fuck you, Daddy Charlie. Son of a bitch.
I think this is like, hey man, you made this cool artsy horror movie.
Have we watched that for the show?
Like, no, which we probably should.
Because I feel like we talked about. I've still never seen that
movie. Yeah, so it's like,
which is why I'm pretty sure
you know, studio comes calling, and like we want you to do our big horror movie Mimic, mm-hmm. and we're gonna sand off everything that makes you. But it's going to be a success, so then later you can make a movie and be, you know, you can actually be you.
That's very surprising.
That is studio logic.
Yeah. That is very surprising to me.
You don't agree with that?
Absolutely not. I think this is beautiful looking. I think there's so much more atmosphere and stagecraft than is normally allowable in kind of big studio efforts. And I think because of how dank and stinky and weird looking it is probably one of the reasons why it doesn't maybe get sold the way that a lot of those type of ones get sold, the kind of the shinier stuff. I think this is gross and grimy and grounded and unpleasant. in those ways.
I would say this has... Yeah, this has none of the characterization or feels of a Del Toro movie, but has more of the look. Not his look, but more of his look than it has what I get from, like, his, like, the relationships you usually get from his movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have expected that creature to look better from him.
Sure, but we're...
With this budget.
Yeah, but it's also, there's only so much you can do in, what, 96 is they probably shot this? Because it came out in 97?
I mean, as soon as the... It's a thing that looks really cool lurking.
It does.
As soon as the faceplate comes off, and then it's like 375 mandibles going different ways, and then, like, when they start flying, you just go, oh, no.
Right. But I don't think that is a thing that could hold up, no matter who's in charge or how much money they have. That's a stupid idea.
Mm.
It's an okay movie. But it's that is just going to look stupid.
I explained it to
Beth. It's a 7-foot cockroach. Is it scary? Of course not. It's a 7-foot cockroach. It looks stupid.
Like scarier. Like,
I don't think there's a scary version of that.
Like the Madagascar hissing cockroach size thing, but 700,000 of them. You know,
maybe, right? Yeah. You know, like I think there are limitations to the source material here that just don't allow.
I love that
for that to work, and whether you know budget or era or whatever, and like. So what you get instead, I think, is you get these cool, creepy... By the way, is that fucking underground train station... That's the set from Ninja Turtles, right?
Pretty much,
that
yeah.
Is, no, but I mean, that is literally the... Isn't it?
Well, is this isn't Universal that did this
one? It bears a strong resemblance.
Miramax.
Let's see.
But Dimension...
Production company was Dimension, distributed by Miramax, so...
Ninja Turtles was New Line, I think.
You might be right. Yeah.
And maybe just making shit up. I never know.
I think that's New Line. But I was just like, cause as soon as they walk in there, cause I haven't watched this, like I said, since it was first on video. So I probably watched this in 1998. And I was like, okay, that is just that subway car that the Ninja Turtles live in. They go find their new home. And they're like, holy, this is awesome. Let's order a pizza here. Cause that's a thing. And like, That just looks like it. It's so much, and maybe I'm wrong. Somebody out there comment on the Facebook and let me know, because it would make me stupid happy if that was the same set that got recycled like 4 years later from Ninja Turtles 2 into Mimic. That would be amazing. And if Ben Affleck was cut from this movie to be in Phantoms, that would also be amazing. I'll take Josh Brolin, but, you know.
Yeah, he would, there was definitely a, he was
Megan Brolin. Kept talking to Josh Brolin during the movie.
Hmm.
Like, not the actor, but Josh Brolin. Like, not the character.
Not the character, yeah. The actor. Yeah.
She's like, oh, don't go in there, Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin, you're smarter than this. And I'm like, should I go? So there was
Leave me alone with Brolin.
That's definitely, but I can't look at Josh Brolin now without picturing with Jonah Hex makeup.
Hmm.
Which is weird, because I've not seen Jonah Hex. I've only seen the trailer for that. So, well,
have you had a concussion in your life? You've had a concussion?
See, I don't think so, but then people tell me I have.
And that's, but you don't remember.
No, that's the thing. That sounds like a joke. But I literally go, yeah, it's amazing. I never had a concussion. And like, Porter looks at me and goes, dude. And I go, what? And then he goes, you've had a concussion. I go, when? And he goes, dude. So me?
Because I think if you've come close, if you've had a head injury, then you've more or less seen Jonah Hex, more or less. Like, it's not, it's a head injury of a film. Like, it's just not, it's not good. I will say I have a weird relationship with this movie because I really like it a lot. I think it's, the look of it is fucking gorgeous. And I like how just sticky and atmospheric so much of it is. And it's like, it's very interesting. I also like Charles Dutton just being a grumpy cop. One of the things I like about this movie, and one of the reasons why I have such affection for it, is when it came out in the theaters, my dear friend Justice and I went and saw this, and Event Horizon had come out around, like, a little earlier than that, or a little later than that, or I don't remember exactly, but not in too long of time apart from each other. Not a huge amount of time, I don't think. And at the time, he was more of a religious-y person. And so we had this conversation where we'd seen both movies that week, I believe. And we had a three-day-long conversation about it. Like, literally, one of those conversations where you, like, you talk, you go into the grocery store, talk, like, go to the grocery store, come back, sit down, bullshit for 3 hours, like, go talk about whatever. Yeah, it's just one of those conversations that just keeps going. And talking about what's...
About Mimic?
About Mimic and Event Horizon. About things being scary in the natural world, or things being scary in the spiritual world. Like, what is scary, what is scarier? For someone who is a person of faith, as far as like Event Horizon and kind of the heaven and hell aspects of that whole thing. And then with this one being the kind of the scientific fuck with nature, nature fucks you right back kind of thing. And so I kind of came down the side of like, this is goddamn terrifying to me because nature doesn't give a shit. Ever. Nature doesn't care. And it's like, and that to me is, that's terrifying. You know, it's like, that's why people always give me a side look whenever like somebody gets killed by a polar bear or they get you know, drowned by a shark or attacked by a bear in the woods or whatever. My feeling has always been, and people think I'm just a jackass about saying it, but I really truly believe it. Like, if you go in their environment, fair play to the shark. Like, fair play to the polar bear. If a shark comes to your house with a switchblade, like, that's a shitty shark. But, like, if you go into the ocean, that's his house. You leave him the fuck alone, you know? And so.
Actually, if he comes to your house with a switchblade, he's an inner shitty shark.
And your best you can hope for then is a jet?
Rita Moreno's gonna show up like, oh god, this has gotten complicated.
I totally agree with you. Like, the idea that, like, yeah, if, when, you know, it's the Chris Rock bit, like the whatever tiger that bit off what, Roy's head?
Oh yeah,
the,
yeah.
You know, from Siegfried and Roy, he's like, that tiger didn't go crazy, that tiger went tiger.
Yeah.
Right.
That is what a tiger does. Shada. Like, if you go in the woods and a bear sees you, well, by going into the woods, you signed up for, I might get eaten by a bear.
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling on the matter. You know, it's kind of like, but in terms of,
you know, and it's still unfortunate, and, you know, I don't wish that on anybody, but that's just how the world works.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
Big animals eat other animals.
Yeah, and it's kind of, that's how the whole stuff works. It's like, in this, so, keep bearing that in mind, like, when I watch something like this, I just think, like, nature does all kinds of crazy stuff. And so it's just, to me, that's nerve-wracking. Not like in the scale, in the more literal way that as far as the movie goes, but like, just in general. You know, the idea that like, viruses and bugs and all kinds of different things can just do whatever the hell they want to, essentially. And it's just, it's fascinating from a scientific standpoint, but it's also scary. You know, and so.
Well, this is less like, this is less nature and more, like, the folly of man and the folly of science.
Which is
right?
Interesting because this is, but it's also, like, partly an 80s throwback to the kind of, like, eco warnings we got, as well as, like, the 50s throwback of, like, what hath science wrought, except we're, instead of getting, you know, 200-foot-tall ants.
Right.
You know, we're getting 7-foot-tall cockroaches that can look like people. Like, but it isn't, it's a throwback horror film to, you know, an era 15 years before its time, as well as an era of 4 decades before its time.
So let's point out, like, I'll explain it to the listeners as I explained it to Jessica. She's like, so what is Mimic about? I was like, well, it's about 7-foot-tall cockroaches who have evolved to have a faceplate that looks like people, so they can look like, they just kind of look like a person in a trench coat with kind of a rudimentary face. Like, if you look up close, it doesn't actually have eyes or anything.
Kind of hollows that in a shadow, yeah.
So they, and she's like, what? Like, yeah.
Which is the proper response?
They genetically engineered these roaches to kill roaches that were carrying a deadly disease that was killing children.
Right.
And so the roaches were supposed to be sterilized. Life gets out. Life finds a way. Jeff Goldblum stammers a little bit and his chest is kind of oily and gleaming. And then they have like 300 generations of roaches and they evolve to be these giant people-looking things as they evolve to be like their predators, to look like their predators, and then they spend the rest of the movie killing people like you do to your predators. And she's like, oh, really? Yep. And it's Guillermo del Toro? And it's like, not so as you notice. That's kind of where I landed on it.
I still, to me, the story does not have a del Toro touch, but the look, I think, is there.
I think it is so generic 90s looking.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely dark and gritty, but that's not a thing that he's totally shied away from. Like, Hellboy's better lit than this. But that's also, I would say, you know, 20 years of practice.
How did I not notice that was Norman Reedus in this?
That's crazy. He's so young looking.
I honestly didn't either. Mm-mm. Whoa.
I mean, I got Mira Sorvino.
Yeah.
Jeremy Northam I knew from The Tudors. You know, Josh Brolin, Charles S. Dutton from Rock.
I still find
and it. And F. Murray
okay,
Abraham
thank you,
in his face.
I was also like, it's the guy from Rock. And, yeah. And Megan goes, the dude from Alien 3?
Amadeus? Like,
you're cooler than me. Amadeus.
Amadeus. Amadeus.
Amadeus.
What's the, oh yeah, I have to pass this along because we got great humor out of this. So, you know, Regis looks so young, but so does Brolin too, you know? And, Kristen was looking up from her knitting thing she was working on, and she looks up, and she's like, he's kind of like Kevin Bacon, but like a generic Kevin Bacon. And so, and I said, yeah, it's like store brand. So she's like, oh, he's like store bought bacon. And then I was like, ah. It's what a joke just sort of taps you on the shoulder and surprises you. You didn't even expect it to show up at the house. Like, ah, it's delightful.
Maybe it was more the pre-cooked bacon.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, it's just sort of like, it was just.
It's not in the freezer section or the fridge section, you know, it's just kind of on the end cap by the biscuits.
No need to heat in any time treat.
Yeah. we just kind of wandered back, well, we kind of backed into that joke. It was like, oh, well, delightful. Nice to see you.
So would you say it was back bacon?
Back bacon? No.
Fat back?
I forgot that you're not.
Tack back.
Damn it. Drop a notebook.
Charlie's notes like exploded.
At some point, we should arrive at Boot Scoot and Boogie.
Let's not.
It's like the hard back, failed, slack, see slack, make black, Boot Scoot and Boogie.
I just.
That's how it goes.
I don't know.
I mean, I can say I don't know what I'm doing, but I can't say I have the time. Right.
I have to.
You're such a fucking slacker.
How weird is it to hear that in the credits?
Yeah.
Anyway.
By the way, Charlie introduced me to that band by taking me to a show with them and Flogging Molly.
I was at that show.
That was fantastic.
If it was here.
Probably not that particular show.
Oh, okay.
It was in Phoenix.
That's one of the times I saw them.
You saw them on their tour. But just like, huh, these are two very different audiences. And I feel like I'm in both of them, because both of these bands fucking rule.
Flogging Molly did a very good job of always bringing opening bands that were excellent, but didn't sound like them.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've always
appreciated. The opposite of the Peacemakers.
And then Charlie introduced me to the guy, and it was great.
Yeah.
Which show was that, Joshua?
I was like at 4th, 3rd, or 5th, 2nd, or whatever that weird-ass club was.
Because I feel like, yeah, the one I saw was the Dead Pets, the Slackers and Flogging Molly.
Mm-hmm.
And the previous time I'd seen Flogging Molly at First Ave, it was the bill was the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones headlining, Flogging Molly middling, and Sum 41 opening.
Weird.
That was a really fun show.
That's a hell of a bill.
Boss Tones, yes. Flogging Molly, woo! Sum 41.
Oh, that first EP is amazing.
The party, like,
I literally got that in my car.
That song is great, but it's like
that one of those. That album's great.
It's one of those that doesn't invite me to listen to more of it.
Sure.
It's just like, sure, that song kicks ass. I'm done.
Yeah. You know? Oh, no, that first EP, Half Hour Power, is amazing. After that, it kind of goes, but that's all they had at that point. So they did like a 15-minute set that was just tight as shit, and I was like, oh, this is fun. Anyway, we digressed the fuck out of this.
Right.
Sorry, everybody.
So Giant Cockroaches. Go buy a record. Giant Cockroaches and Autistic Kid Who Can, like...
Can I just say fuck that now in movies?
Why?
And
this is an old movie. Yeah, we'll give it a pass.
I'm so sick of that. I'm so sick of here's the kid. And here's the thing. I was thinking about how infuriated I was by the fact that we have a kid who's special. We're not even going to define it so that he can just be exactly the kind of off kilter or weird or whatever it is that we need him to be in any given scene. Is that not just another Deus Ex Machina thing of like, oh, here's what we need to move the plot ahead, someone to not have the sense to hide in a closet. And like, that bothers me. The one I'm thinking of, because I was getting all steamed up watching this, because I'd forgotten about that character. The one that I think is the exception would be, I can't remember the name of it now, the one with the tiger in the house.
Yeah, Burning Bright.
Burning Bright. Where the entire
point is just a load the entire time.
That is the whole point. Is like that movie is totally different if that girl can just hide by herself in a closet all night.
Mm.
There's no movie. You need that kind of character. But like, I feel like we see, and again, like maybe it's that I just know enough people on the spectrum, like, dude, come on. Like, this is not what these people are like. Like, the people that are like catastrophically non-functional are pretty rare, you know? And, like, it seems to me like such a crutch of, like, okay, look, we're going to have 4 or 5 times where someone knows something they shouldn't or pays attention to some crazy detail that the average person would not remember or needs to react in a way that the humans don't.
Right.
And it's like you're making them into this weird pastiche of, like, an alien slash, you know, golem slash whatever else. And it's like, that's kind of gross. That's bugging me.
Well,
you know?
Hey.
Oh, nice, yeah.
That was good for a kind of uncomfortable giggle, though. Because it's like, the movie is actually decently serious, given it's just ridiculous subject matter, but when you get to the, like, tappity-tappity-tap, and then the bug goes, click-click-click-click, and then he goes, tappity-tappity-tap, click-click-click-click, and I, for God's sake, wanted a, like, tap dance number to break out, because it's just, all it needed was the
rich.
Yes, what like, was yes. the bug to just go, gotta dance, tappity-tappity-tappity-tap.
But jazz wingspan.
The fact that, you know, he could just talk to the cockroaches, like, yeah. See, I had, I guess, going in, I had thought, I know the premise of this film, and I know it's Guillermo del Toro. I would expect...
This is the first time you've seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I would expect 45 minutes of the people in the movie not knowing what these things are, and them to just be lurking in the shadows, and you see these silent creatures lurking in the shadows, and then, like, oh, holy shit. Like, not that the carapace moves down and out of the way and then there's bug, but that, like, that's just the back of a cockroach, like a death's head moth, you know? And like, ooh, okay, well, shit, giant insects are afoot, and then go. But instead, the very first time you see one, you get that, like, clickety-click thing. And you're, like, you know exactly what it is immediately. And it doesn't take that long for them to figure it out, and then you have no more looking in the shadows. You just have bugs in your face. And it's, they're not good enough to be in your face like that. So that was my experience. But it was like, you know, I'm enjoying these characters, okay, you know, and the end is pretty fun, but man, does this not do what Guillermo del Toro giant cockroach movie I thought was gonna do. So, I ended up kind of disappointed in it.
What do you think, Charlie?
I don't know. I think you're both fucking crazy. I think this is a great movie. I really do. I think it's beautifully, I think it's beautifully lit. I think it's beautifully staged. I think some of the sets are just unbelievably well crafted. Unbelievably well crafted. Like, there's so much detail. There's so much stuff they put into these environments. Like, there's so many slick action kind of thriller movies from like the 90s on through the early 2000s where it's just sort of like, just nothing looks like anything. It just, it, and just in scenes and throwaway scenes with the, with the, with the, with the, in the apartment with the little boy with the spoons and stuff and like stuff in the subway and stuff on the street and just, I don't know, there's just so much stuff that's just jammed in there. On top of the fact that like, yeah, again, on a basic level, I find the whole thing nerve-wracking and it's kind of, and kind of uneasy and kind of scary. Like, I mean, the CG stuff doesn't age super well, but there's so much practical too that's, really neat, and
the practical stuff I think really shot.
God dang, there's some of that stuff.
Like when they're when they're like flipping over like cockroach carcasses and digging around, like that shit's cool. That to me is like that's very like Blade 2 era Del Toro.
Yeah, another like, fantastic kind
of
gross film.
Messing about, you know what I mean? Like that. That to me is like that speaks of the Del Toro I know and love. You know, it's weird and gross.
Well, and like, and so I mean, I guess it's just one of those things where, you know, to me, it's like there's so many. The late 90s, early 2000s ones that just, I mean, most of them have faded in memory at this point, but like, just slick, just like, they feel like movies. And it's sort of like.
Well, cause this is the era where we were getting I Know What You Did Last Summer, and, what was the other one that's similar to that? They're like, we've watched them.
Urban Legend?
Urban Legend.
We like, haven't done Urban Legend yet. We?
Okay. But like, the ones that were just like, oh, you get a CW starlet. And you make a really slick slasher that's almost bloodless, and that was kind of what horror was at this time.
Well, yeah.
And you know, just, this is definitely a huge departure from that.
Well, and then also, too, it's kind of one of those things where the creatures, the creature aspect of it, you know, kind of like, yeah, the Jurassic Park bridge over, you know, does, you know, make a lot of, you know, does make a lot of sense. Like, it kind of, cause right at the very beginning, you get the thing of like sick children. Gotta fix sick children. And like, they gotta send Mira Sorvino down there in her, like, her outbreak outfit and their little weird cooler and then kind of let out the little foam butt roaches and then everything's gonna be good. But like, this idea that like, you got everything all worked out. It's kind of like, well, it's like, I think, recently there's a movie coming out, in a couple weeks called Hell or High Water, shot here in Texas. And it's a fantastic film. It's really amazing. It's got Jeff Bridges and Chris Pine and Ben Foster and a few other people in it. It's really, really good. But it's sort of like people, or like Blue Ruin's another good example. Like normal people can't crime, like, generally. Like they think they'll think of 17 things and forget 35 of them. of what they actually need to do. And so it's like, and people can't normally do this kind of stuff. And so like in a lot of these situations, as far as the send up for like a sci-fi or horror thing, like we have this plan, it's going to take care of this problem. Like, well, it didn't, this thing didn't work that way and that way didn't work that way. Like F. Murray Abraham's got that line about like, you know, like, oh, the world's a bigger lab. And it's like, I kind of, I like that as just sort of the overarching idea for what this is. And then also too, like, you know, I kind of, you know, I like the idea. I do like also the idea of sort of like, which, you know, people have talked about in different ways and sometimes I agree and sometimes I don't, but the idea that like they're trying to cure this really awful disease for these children or whatever else, but then potentially kind of create this much, much bigger, much more dire situation by doing that. It's like, well, is it good to try to cure diseases or is it good to like manage diseases or is that better or what's better? And so I think all those things I think are all interesting. And then you plop it into this thing that I just think looks so much more creative than so much stuff that I remember seeing from senior year of high school through college. Like it just, there's not a lot of stuff that stands out in my memory of stuff that I remember seeing. Like I remember The Professional was one that stuck out to me and Clerks was one that stuck out to me as in my memory and like just various things that I saw around that time, but not a ton. I mean, not a ton. I mean, so I saw a shit ton of movies, but you know, just not a ton of stuff sticks out. And this is one that sticks out. You know, in terms of being creative and having depth. And so I really, really like it. So I think you're both crazy.
That's fair.
You know, respectfully, though. Not angrily. Just respectfully. I think you're both
we're crazy with love.
wait, suddenly you're Jimmy Fallon and Almost Famous. What's going on here? Respectfully.
Well, I mean, I got my yayas out being rage angry at a movie today when I went and saw Lights Out. So I got all that rage out of my system. Oh, yeah. Fuck me running.
It saddens me because I think we all still agree that it's maybe the best horror short we've ever seen.
Yeah, and like, I'm just absolutely rooting for that
for
guy.
Sure.
He's
me too.
Like, great.
But
dude.
I also think that like, you get the opportunity to make your short into a feature, you take it. But I also was like, how the fuck do you make that into a feature? And so the idea that it's not good bums me out because I'd like that guy to do well. But it also doesn't surprise me a whole lot because there's not... That's not a premise that supports a feature.
Well, and it can be tricky too from a creative standpoint, because like here in town.
Oh my god, yeah.
Because like here in town we have you know, Scott. We used to have in town, I guess, but you have Scott Derrickson, who's doing the new Doctor Strange movie, that's coming out here soon, and Derrickson is a really cool guy. Him and Cargill are the ones that wrote the thing and Derrickson's directing it. Derrickson is a really cool guy, very neat sort of fellow. But he wrote the first Sinister movie, did a couple other things, but his most recent thing was Deliverance from Evil last year, which was very dull and it was very flat. And I didn't like it so much. Does that mean I'm not rooting for him to direct a movie and end up being involved in the writing process? One of my all-time favorite characters in all of comic books? No. I'm super excited because he's a really down-to-earth, decent human being. He's very creative. Yeah. You know, so it's one of those things where I look at Deliverance from Evil last year. I was like, man, that's just really flat and not my deal. But that doesn't mean he's not talented because the guy's crazy talented and super smart. You know, so it's like, I look at this Lights Out thing.
Well, no one's got 100%.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing with the Lights Out thing. It's like, I was just rage angry. Maybe because of that thing that I get mad at other people about from time to time, which is expectation. Like, I walked in thinking they were going to have their act together. And it's sort of like, and maybe it's sort of like, I got to take my own advice and not, you know, come in with a bunch of baggage, you know, sort of like,
Well, but I mean, I think it's hard not to when you know that this is based off of a source material I'm familiar with and
for
love.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, how do you not have some expectation going into that? Like, that's you know, suspension of disbelief is one thing, but pretending you're not aware of the property at all is probably a bridge too far.
Tall order.
Yeah.
So, Mimic.
Mimic. Charlie, why don't you start? What do you think?
Pardon me. Let's see. So, I mean, there's a whole lot I like about this. It's a whole lot of creative stuff. And also it serves as a reminder that it's like kind of a bummer that Mira Sorvino didn't become A-list big time lady because she's fun to watch. She's fun to watch not just because she's an attractive lady, but she's also good to watch and talented, I think. Maybe not like, you know, super deep characterness necessarily, but like, you know, I wish she would have done and had the ability to do or had the opportunity to do more stuff. Because I think her and few of those types just kind of got the shaft a little bit. So I would have liked to have, you know, seen her gone on to do a whole bunch more stuff. That being said, I enjoyed this top to bottom. Really, I like the score. I like the everything. The guy who plays the shoe shiner guy, by the way, go to IMDb and then go look him up. The man has got a 4 or 5 decade long film history.
Megan was very excited when he showed up.
It's unbelievable. I've seen a handful of things he's been in, but my God, you could take a year and track down all the stuff that guy has been in. It's unbelievable. So all those being said, you know, personal biases, a little bit of built-in affection, a little bit of built-in whatever the hell. I would say, so I gotta pronounce this correctly so you guys can hear the word that I can, the thing. So I would say 8 out of 10 shit tag tights. Is that the word? Yeah.
Is that your poop version of a stalactite?
Exactly.
Attaboy. Yeah.
I didn't hate it. There were times when I was kind of incredulously that kind of fuck enjoying watching it. And there were very few times when I was like, oh, that's legitimately creepy. Cool. But I was expecting legitimately creepy for, you know, the majority of it, and got barely any like actual scares going on. It honestly reminded me of The Relic, where it's just like there is a certain 90s-ness to this and a certain genericness to this that I am experiencing, and apparently I'm alone in that. So
The Relic I brought up in my discussion about it too.
Yeah, I mean, I love Del Toro. You would have to tell me that it was him for me to get that at all. So I would go for like a 5.5 out of 10, tap dancing, autistics and insects having a duet. Is that kid an autistic?
Congratulations on a fantastic mental image. Because that is great.
I don't have the difficulty, I think, seeing some of the look of Del Toro. I mean, I've kind of said all this, but the story doesn't grab me the way it could. I do think it gets this movie, and again, we watched the director's cut. I don't know how much longer that is than the other. Maybe the version we watched is okay. So
it's
not
10 minutes. Yeah.
So not extraordinarily longer. So it's just too long of a film anyway. But it's not a terrible idea for a movie. It's kind of fun and kind of neat. I almost wonder if it wouldn't be better if it was even more of a B movie because you might forgive it more. You know, like if this was on the level of Slugs.
Would I just kind of ground?
You know what? You know, it's roaches. But like, you know what I mean. But would I enjoy rolling around in it more? You know what I mean.
If the roaches were more of a bee movie,
there's a bunch of dung beetles by the side of the stage going, "What the hell are you doing, man?"
Ha-cha-cha-cha. But you know what I mean. I feel like this is almost too put together, too polished for what is essentially kind of a bee movie, monster movie plot. And the fact that it gets so close to being, this is the wrong word, but like a legitimate horror movie, maybe makes the slight gap seem greater. So I kind of wonder if it was a little more skin and bones to kind of get through it, if that would be a little better. So it's fine. Like I said, I think this is like only the second time I've watched it. I didn't hate it. I actually enjoyed, you know, parts of it, but it's... It doesn't move me, really, so...
Yeah, some kids died, though.
I do love that.
Yeah.
That's true. I actually really enjoyed those kids dying. I'm going up a half point now. So, I certainly enjoyed this more than Chaws. I don't think I liked it as much as Slugs. Honestly, I would picture myself watching Slugs again with some people before I'd watch this. So, Charlie reminded me that kids die... makes this a 5.5 out of 10. 5.5 out of 10, Alphabet City bug providers.
Heroes in a Half Shell. Turtle Power.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with some films for next week. So So next week we're going to do a little Amazon primage because to celebrate the fact that Matt and has access to Amazon Prime now.
Yeah,
and all three of us can hit some things that are streaming a little bit easier to find. Fringe Festival is coming soon, and oof. Matt is up to his asshole and eyeballs.
Yeah, my show opens Friday.
He's assembled so. Weird for him. I've not seen him.
It is odd. That
he's up to the eyeballs of his asshole, yes. By the way, yesterday my wife said, you know how Winifred, who's, you know, 15 months old, she's kind of toddling around the house, you know how she just goes like, I, and just like pokes you in the fucking eye? Like, yep, I'm aware. I too have been poking the eye. She said, so the other day, I heard her go, I, and the dog yip really loud and come tear ass out of the room. She said, and I found out it was because he was looking out the window with his tail up, and she had seen his butthole, and went, I, and just poked him right in the asshole. Ah, that's
every day,
so good.
Every day is a gift when you have children.
Like, every day. Honey, that's brown eye.
Yeah.
You gotta get the brown in there. She's learning color still.
She's your brown eye girl.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Her hands were kind of cold. She made his brown eye blue. What can I say? Anyway.
She's a damn angel in the world, but she's got great aim for a 15-month-old. Jeez, right. You know, like, I mean, you know, most kids can't get the crayon to the paper on the desk, and I was like, that's pretty good.
She's gonna be a vet or a...
She got four or five crayons up there before the dog even noticed. To be fair, Remy is not a smart dog.
Oh, judged by human standards, Jesus, no. Anyway, so next week, Amazon Prime movies. All these movies can be found on Amazon Prime. We should set up a vendor account before we do this.
Probably a thing.
Anyway, Breeders, a 1970s joint about aliens and creepiness. The Voices, a 2014-13 horror comedy with Ryan Reynolds and Anna Kendrick. And Don't Look Now, the 70s classic with Donald Sutherland, directed by Nicholas Roeg.
If, ladies and jelly spoons, you would like a bonus thing this week, Ryan Reynolds did a movie called Buried, which not a lot of people saw.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's real good. Yeah. And so it doesn't have a lot of, it's going to be one of those ones that's kind of lost in the stacks. So if you have some extra time and you want to watch Ryan Reynolds again and you want to watch a really good movie that he's in and watch him be really good, watch Buried.
I kind of forgot about that movie. Good. Yeah,
that poster made me unable to breathe.
Yeah, I've got claustrophobia, so that's a tough one for me.
Right, our shirt is called We Together, and it will be linked on Facebook and also in the show notes.
Yeah.
Nice. Are we going together? We together.
We together. We go.
I asked my French friend if he played Xbox or PlayStation. He said we.
God damn.
I just picture in some bars where they have those big troughs in the men's room, you know, so like, we together. Like, ah.
Yeah, I am not the character in Charlotte's Web. I do not be in a trough.
Wee.
Jesus Christ. You see the on-ramp, we should take it.
No, I just powder my nose. Okay, movies, Breeders, The Voices, Don't Look Now, all on Amazon Prime, We Together is short, will be linked on our stuff. I've been Josh this entire time. HSHD.podbean.com. Bye.
I've been Matt, as far as y'all know, and I'm sorry. I'm going to really quickly say, I can't go to this, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't. Thank you, Charles. Charles Knudsen from McGregor Games out at the Renaissance Festival will occasionally comment to either me or the show at large with really cool things that are happening in the world of horror. And this is one I do not get to attend, but you might be able to if you live locally. Cinema in the Cemetery, 2016. Minneapolis Pioneers and Soldiers Memorial Cemetery, corner of Lake Street and Cedar Avenue, is doing, movie nights. So, The Hammer House of Horror. Saturday, August 20th, Curse of Frankenstein. Saturday, September 3rd, The Mummy. And Saturday, September 17th, Horror of Dracula.
Jeez.
That sounds fucking awesome.
That's delightful.
That's really cool. I will not be able to go because I will be in mid-carny. on all of those weekends is that's just balls deep into the Renaissance Festival season. But were it not for that, I would absolutely be at all of those because that sounds fucking cool. So if you're local and that's interesting to you, go check that out. And also, I should point out Kara, fearless comedy member and listener to the show.
I mentioned, I think, maybe last episode that the Black Forest Inn that does the movie each week, or each month, did Hell's a Poppin' last month. I believe they're doing Scream this month. Ooh, and so they continue to do really fun, cool movies. And I got to get a little further ahead of that, because I think that might have been this weekend, or maybe it's next weekend. I'll see. But I got to stay on top of that, and maybe there will be one of those that will pop up that we can do an outing for if there's like the right movie and a weekend lines up. Obviously, we're talking about fall at this point,
right?
Before that really becomes a plausible thing. But yeah, so anyway, I'll show
I think it's very cool, by the way, that you mentioned Kara. She does a lot of commenting and contributing and mentioning stuff and whatever else. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
I think it's a good example to all the rest of you louts that don't actually interact as much that you know, if a girl can do it, I mean, the rest of you really can't.
Oh,
I mean,
Jesus saying. Christ.
I mean, she does a really good job, and it seems very effortless. She's very intelligent. So there's, I mean, a guy can do at least as good as a girl, probably. Just saying.
Good Lord.
Dude, Katie Breckinridge is going to come strangle you with her old lungs.
Yeah, she's, yeah, oh my God. Yeah, she's got them new lungs plus them old
and
lungs.
And she's Australian, so just now, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, so she's immune to all kinds of poisons and atmospheres that we don't even know about.
Shit, I forgot to mention that in Mimic, they go out of their way to make sure they say the insect has lungs.
Because that's what
because
the
otherwise
size.
It would just be ridiculous.
Listen, that... You know what?
Try to get us out of here.
Yeah, please.
Thank you very much. Thank you much for everybody for listening. As we go careening into the fall and the holiday season, as we were reminded here in Austin last night, things get weird, things get strange, and it's not necessarily a good thing. But look around you, because you've got a lot of folks around you that that add a lot of wealth to your life, and certainly I'm very lucky because I have a lot of folks up towards the cold north that provide me that as well. So. It's one of those things that that I'm very thankful to do the show. It's super super fun to do. It's a good distraction. The awful events in Austin last night are a great reminder on a very personal and very in a place in an area in an intersection that I'm at constantly where it occurred that this awful shit happens. So be appreciative and be glad and be joyful in the things that you love, whether they're people or films or music or whatever the fuck it is. Tiddlywinks for all care, but just have some joy in it because we're awful goddamn lucky to have them. You know, whatever it is that makes you joyful. So, that's my sermon. Bye.
Okay, ready? Here's me. You ready? I'm ready. You ready? I'm ready.
Yeah.
I was born ready.
That's not true.
I was born naked and afraid.
Born with a squishy head. Can't even walk. Bullshit.